1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The following bit is not podcast friendly. I repeat, the following bit. You won't hear the music on your podcast.
Yeah, it's time for Del Webber Funky Chicken Cacophony and Liquor Jamboree. Hon, hon. Del Webber, married to a fat woman, loved the hell out of her. Now he got his show while she's at home, making it with his first cousin, ML. It's a drag.
All right. Is he beautiful? Well, that's Jason T-Bone, and he is my cousin, you know. And I'll tell you something else. My wife, I do love her, and she does weigh 300 pounds. But hell ain't gonna keep me from going home to her, even though the unwrapped sandwiches of wax paper keep me awake all night. Lord have mercy. That's how I do to my old lady. That's right. I love my wife, but I want to kill her. I love my wife, but I want to kill her. I love my wife, but I want to kill her. I love my wife, but I want to kill her. Let's take a call now. Pastor William Rennick. Pastor Rennick, what I do about my marriage?
I want to tell you, I'm very, very much a fan of your program there. God bless you, playing all the music, original blues, you know?
I believe in keeping it alive, you know. I just don't believe in keeping my wife alive.
You know, I'm very troubled by that. I'm very troubled by that, brother. Why do you want to kill your old lady? Yeah, she's a big, fat woman. And her eating all the ham sandwich there in bed and everything, that keep you awake, right?
Hell yeah.
But so why?
Because she's making it with my cousin. She's cheating on me.
Oh, well, you know the woman gonna do that. A man do it, a woman gonna do that. That don't really kick her out of bed. Just because she's got your grease monkey cousin all up in that room right now where you on that radio, right?
Are you trying to piss me off?
Wow, woo! Watch out, you're talking to a man of the cloth.
You're right about that. I'm Darryl Weber. Welcome to Funky Chicken Cacophony Liquor Jamboree. Junior T-Bone is here. And Junior T-Bone, what's going on?
All right. I want to tell everybody, you got to go down to Mom. Now, Mom's set at late at night. She's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning. You get some cherry pie, some peach pie. You get some sassafras pie. You can get rhubarb pie. You get...
What, bud?
I'm doing a bit, bud.
You gotta talk to Mr. Hall.
What?
You gotta talk to Mr. Hall.
He's calling up. He wants to talk to me. I'm in the middle of a bit.
I'm sorry.
Yes, David.
Okay, so what do we got now? Amos and Andy?
What do you mean?
This is Amos and Andy. It's this 2005. You got the Amos and Andy show.
I'm doing Darryl Weber, Funky Chip.
I heard the whole step and fetch it thing you're doing. All that yes and no, sir. Don't say here, say there. Don't say this, say that. You understand?
Are you crazy, man?
You're calling me crazy? You're on the radio right now trying to bring back a television program that the television museum took the tapes and burned. Burned them! They're dusting off the hot seats for me at the FCC, and you're rolling with Amos and Andy.
That ain't Amos and Andy. That's a cat playing the blues.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, my old lady's fat. She eats ham sandwiches. She's making it with my first cousin. You got another bit there. What was that? Who's that Junior T-Bone? What's that all about?
He's the cat who's the announcer.
Well, he's the announcer, huh? Hey, come on down, get some chicken and collard greens. God almighty. You know what you're doing? Amos and freaking Andy is what you're doing. And it offends all of our black listeners. I'd like you to take calls from blacks.
What?
I said start taking some people that are black. Let's go.
David, what's the top?
You better start taking some black people. We got to start bringing them back down. The people you alienated, I want to get black callers. Let's go. Come on. Start churning it.
How am I going to? What do you want me to talk about?
How about this? Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I am a dyed-in-the-wool skinhead racist. What went wrong? Here's our number, 1-800-449, whatever the hell your number is.
8686, and you know that isn't true.
What? That's not your phone number? number?
No, that I'm a freaking racist.
Start getting some calls from blacks.
David, I...
You are the professional. We pay you a big... And I, by the way, don't think that I didn't hear that whole comment about if you don't know how to sell it, then why don't you go sell some toys? You're a very bitter young man, you know that?
Oh, come on. Taking a shot at the freaking technocrats. Big wow.
Get some black people on that phone line right now!
If you're black, would you please call and tell me what a freaking skinhead jackass I am? 1-800-449-8686. Here we go. Here is Jefferson. Hi, Jefferson.
Hi. You know, you're...
Is that Bud?
It's not working, Bud.
Get him off the phone and get some real people!
1-800-449-8686. Yes, sir. Was your name Tom?
It is Tom, Phil. I'm really loving your program tonight, and I don't know what this man is yelling about.
Did you hear the whole step and fetch it thing?
No, I didn't. I was just listening to a segment he was doing on how, I forget what it was, but, Amos, you remember what that was?
Yeah, I think.
All right, all of you guys get out of here.
You messing with me?
Anybody who is African-American, please call. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, sir, you're on the air.
What the hell is that?
He's talking in click.
Don't bug me!
Well, what do you want me to do?
Is that Bud doing click?
Yeah, he speaks Mandarin. Why not?
I'm giving you exactly 5 minutes to get your act together. Move it off of this step and fetch it, Amos and Andy thing. Let's move it away from the whole Adolf Caesar kick, and let's start getting into the 21st century. I want upwardly mobile black humor. You understand?
Yeah, okay, man. I thought it was like upwardly mobile white humor?
Exactly.
Oh, okay, well, I can do that. 1-800-449. Look at this. Our lines are all jammed up with people wanting to do black voices now. You know, this is the thing about my radio show. Because we do the show that we do, every amateur in the world wants to come on and do it. Hi, I'd like to talk to Phil. Yeah, thank you, man. Why don't you go call, I think... Delilah's still on, man. She can help you. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Logan Benson coming up with what his grandpa thinks.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yep. Margaret, go ahead.
Phil Frank wants to talk with you. He's on the phone. Hey, Frank.
Hello, young man.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm having a cutty. Turn it down, will you, please?
All right. But I want to see the Barbara Walters.
I understand. How are you, young man?
Good, Frank. How are you?
I couldn't. You know what? I'm vertical, and that's about as all I can say for myself tonight. Will you turn that thing down, please? Where's the ice?
Jesus H, it's in the bar. Give me the phone and go get your ice. Phil, how are you this evening?
I'm good.
Well, we watched a little bit of the webcast, and we're enjoying it a lot. Frank wants to talk to you, though. Here's...
Why don't you get into some slacks or something? Yeah, I want to see that rear end. Young man, how are you?
I'm good, Frank. How are you? What can I do for you?
Well, I wanted to tell you that we've got a piece of him. We finally got a piece of him, and he'll be on Broadway starting, I think it's going to be, I don't know exactly when. When is the timetable on Julia Roberts? Okay. He's going to be in 3 Days of Rain.
Who is?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts is going to be in it.
Yeah, that's what he's... And my understanding is he's rehearsing right now. Will you turn that garbage down, please?
I like... This is funny. It's the tissue commercial.
Yeah. So...
Who's going to be on Broadway?
Julia Roberts is going to be on Broadway. Jesus, H. Jesus wept on a stick. Hold on for a minute. Is this guy a retard?
What's wrong, Phil?
He's saying that Julia Roberts is going to be on Broadway.
Is something wrong with that?
He said he's going to be on Broadway.
It's the gender thing. What is wrong? I told you.
You're going to be on Broadway?
No, I'm not going to be on Broadway. Julia Roberts is.
All right, so when you say you've got a piece of her...
Yeah.
That means you have a piece of Julia Roberts.
That's correct. I don't have a piece of him, literally, sexually. I've got a piece of his Broadway. We're helping produce it.
You're producing for Julia Roberts.
Why do you keep asking that question? Let me ask you something, Phil. Have you looked in the mirror lately?
What does that mean?
Have you looked in a mirror lately?
Yeah, I guess.
Does the face pan out at all? Do you pan?
Okay, look, I just, it's difficult for me to talk to you because I don't understand whether you're talking about Julia Roberts or some guy.
Julia Roberts or some guy? You think that I'm so old I don't know the difference between Julia Roberts and a man?
I don't know.
What am I doing? What am I talking about that would make you think that I think he happens to be a man?
Just by the fact that you called him he.
Who?
Julia Roberts. You just called Julia Roberts he.
Julia Roberts is everything a woman should be and more. He is the sexiest woman I've ever seen. And for you to think that I know the difference between Julia Roberts and a man when I know full well that he's a woman, boy, you are some kind of a sick, twisted bastard. And I'm sorry that I even called your program. And I talked to your screener, Harry. She was very polite. She was going to put me right through. And
Harry's a man.
Do you think? What is up with you, man?
Why do you call Harry her?
Talk to this idiot.
What's going on now?
No, it's nothing.
Is it the gender?
Yes.
Why don't you just live and let live?
Oh, look at that. I love this part here. This is where his pants come completely off. Come on, honey. Anyway, Phil, he's going to be on Broadway with us.
Who, Harry?
Who?
I mean, Julia Roberts?
Yeah. Harry, isn't she your screener?
Yeah, Harry's my screener. Mark Newman's my engineer.
Oh, I better.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And
well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit because let me tell you, we're going to have a great director, Mantello. Do you know who she is?
Is it a woman?
It's a man. Oh. Oh. Now, anyway, and she directed Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick in a revival of The Odd Couple. Now, they were in The Odd Couple. Do you remember when Jack Klugman and Tony Randall did it?
Yes, I remember both of them.
All right. Well, she's going to direct both of these women in the...
Will you hang up on this idiot before I begin to doubt who I am?
That's going to come back on you.
What?
Hanging up on Frank Gray.
Yeah, it sure will, man. I'm so freaking freaked out by that. Hanging up on Frank Gray. It's going to come back on me. Little Logan Benson is going to join us now. I think Logan has got... Is his grandfather with him?
I think so.
All right, Logan, let's get Logan on the line here and see if... I don't know what the hell happened to... Logan, are you with us? Logan, are you with us?
Hi. I wanted to tell you that my grandpa thinks...
I want to talk to your grandpa before you tell me what your grandpa thinks, Logan, okay?
My grandpa says that the IRA...
Hold on. I want to talk to your grandpa.
Ignore him.
My grandpa says...
Is that your grandpa?
Just ignore him.
My grandpa says that the IRA put down their guns because they finally all died from their livers rotting, the lousy drunks. And my grandpa says that if the space shuttle explodes again, NASA would be smart to blame it on the Al-Qaeda. That way they could all keep their jobs. And my grandpa says...
Let me talk to your grandpa, honey.
Don't acknowledge that you even hear him.
My grandpa says that they should check... The cellar drain, if they want to find some of that missing girl's hair from Aruba, there's a whole head full of it down there. And my grandpa...
Oh, man.
My grandpa...
Just ignore him.
My grandpa says that the Brits wouldn't get bombed so much if they improved their dental hygiene. They all look like they eat swamp ass.
Hang up.
Okay, Logan, honey, I want to...
And another Shirley Temple, please.
Logan, I want to talk to you.
No, hang up.
Logan,
Hey, what I would like to know is he keeps saying how hot he is. Saying that, right?
Yeah,
I'm 31.
Hot.
Okay, let me say what I got to say.
I'm saying
that's
I'm hot.
That's why I'm calling,
enough.
Okay? Let me finish.
Okay.
But you keep saying you're so hot, but just because you look good don't mean that you're good in bed. Okay, first off. Second off, you obviously have a fetish with eggs, not women. And thirdly, aren't you spending, if you're so hot, why aren't you spending time in the bedroom with a woman instead of going out with your buddies saying you can't eat because of a fat person?
You know, it's like so lame what you just said. I don't know how to start.
Well, go ahead.
What'd you do? Did you practice all of that or something?
No, I don't have to practice, honey. It comes right off my lips.
What comes out of your lips?
Okay, watch it.
Well,
go ahead. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say this. Number one, I do have to eat. You know, once the women let me go, they let me go and get breakfast. And while I'm having breakfast, I'm looking at beast after beast after beast.
Listen, I
probably
can understand. I don't like looking
friends.
At fat men myself.
Probably
okay,
some of
really.
Your, probably some of your friends are coming down the beach, you know?
No, I have hot friends.
What?
Okay. I said I have hot friends.
You don't have friends?
Yes, I have hot friends.
You have hog friends?
Yes.
Hot friends, not hog friends.
Well, I'm on a cell phone, sweetie, so I mean,
no, ma'am,
you know.
You said you had hogs for friends. That's all I heard you say.
I said hot. You're just trying to get some attention. That's all you're trying to do.
No, ma'am.
If you had anything else better to do with your time, then you would be doing what you were so-called say you were doing because you're hot. Obviously, you're not.
You know, I just want to say something. If you Southern girls spend a little more time in Cali instead of going down to Aruba and getting strangled on a beach, you'd be a whole lot.
Now, that's not necessary.
Oh, you're so Christian-like, too. I tell you.
No,
I mean,
I'm just saying.
No.
You know, we live in earthquake country. When I'm at breakfast and my OJ starts vibrating, you see what I'm saying? So I want to get my breakfast.
Your breakfast?
Yeah. And when I when I see your friends come waddling down the bike path.
They're not my friends, sweetie.
Well.
Okay.
I have to tell you that.
I don't like looking at people that are fat either. Okay, but I don't have a right to tell them where they can and they can't go. And if your stomach is getting upset because you see a fat person, obviously you're not that much of a man. To me, you sound a little more on the feminine side.
Well, all I can tell you is if you came out here to Cali and we had you on all fours out on the beach instead of down at...
All right, will you watch it, man, when I talk?
Well, they're the ones that go down to Aruba and get strangled.
What do you mean they're the ones?
You are a psycho. I'm a psycho?
All I'm saying is I'm hot-looking, and my other hot-looking friends...
You keep saying that. You keep saying you're hot.
If you saw me, you'd want to marry me.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you would.
How hung are you? Do you know what size you are?
Oh, wow. Listen to you. You're a real lady. Wow, you're a real lady.
You're a real man.
Well,
what
a real class act.
Strangled and how hot you are. Give me a break.
Hey, you're the chicks who come from the deep south, go down to Aruba for all that Caribbean romance. Next thing you know, you meet some cab driver that garrots you with some clothesline, and you're blaming me. I mean,
will you please have some respect for what's going on in Aruba? For God's sake.
Why are you blaming me? I'm being discriminated against on account I'm good looking.
You're not being discriminated against. Nobody's told you where you can go on the beach. Have they?
Do you know how many beaches there are in the world?
That was real intelligent. You're saying you're getting discriminated against, and we're not talking about where somebody told you you could go on the beach.
Yeah,
your brain is about the size of a pea, including what you've got between your pants.
Yeah, there you go again.
Because you talk more than you do anything else.
You're real fixated on what I got between my legs. Maybe someday, if you pay me enough, you'll see it.
You keep making your comments.
You're so hanky.
You know what?
You know, your whole attitude and your whole act is hanked out. It's hanky. And what I'm saying to you is, okay, you know how many beaches there are in the world? There's millions and billions of them. How come your friends got to come here and roll down the sidewalk in front of me? They could go down to Aruba.
Honey, you don't have enough money to buy that beach. If you did, maybe nobody else would walk on it. And so until you get some dough, why don't you keep your damn mouth shut?
Hey, well, why don't you and your friends go down to, like, the Caribbean?
Why don't you go buy you a private beach, since you're a model and all that?
Yeah.
You have your own area.
I am a model.
You don't.
Oh, what's the matter? Are you jealous that I'm a model and you wish you had a hot guy like me? That's probably what's going on.
I'm a hot guy, thank you
very
much.
Yeah, you're with a hot guy? And how much does he make an hour?
The point is that you're saying that you want to be on a beach with no fat people, right?
Yeah, and you know where they can go?
With those good looks that you got, go make you some damn money and get on the beach where you don't have to look at nobody but your boyfriend, okay?
She's calling me a queer. Oh, I'm so humiliated. I'm so humiliated.
Oh, yeah, because you gag on the eggs because you see no fat person.
Hey, I tell you, it's better than what you gag on.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me get I think I've got R.C. Collins on the line. He is a young man, a military cadet from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. R.C., how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good, Mr. Henry, and on behalf of the cadets of Bradley Military Academy, we want to say good evening. We're really enjoying your broadcasting.
Thank you. What did you want to talk about?
Yes, sir. I told the man that we're pretty kind of upset here about the number of people that are wearing those earpiece cell phones. They walk around like they think they're military or something. It's got a lot of people pretty angry. And
you're talking about that people wear their cell phones in their ears?
Yes, sir. A lot of them have their cell phones lodged in their ear like they think they're some kind of air traffic controller at a Marine air base. And a lot of them have the mouthpiece like they think they're so cool taking orders at McDonald's. And the whole thing just makes those of us in the military or aspiring to be in the military, it makes us look like a regular creep, like there's nothing special about us.
Well, all right. This is a convenience, as you know, for people who want to have some safety, right?
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry, if you're driving in your car. But if you're just walking around like an average, you know, I wanted to use the phrase douchebag, but I realized that's probably... But if you're walking around like an average douche, and you've got the headset in, what is that about? Oh, I'm sorry. I got to use my hands to walk? The point that we're...
What is your point, man? In other words, aesthetically, you don't like it?
Well, no. I mean, what we're saying...
I understand that it bothers you, and the aesthetics of it bother you, but is there anything more concrete than you think everybody looks like a douche who walks around and maybe I agree with you?
Then you do agree.
Maybe I do. It doesn't mean I want to do anything about it.
Okay, that's one... He agrees. Commandant Wireman is going to join us.
Well, hold on for a minute, man. Did you know about this, Wayne?
Sir, this is Commandant Harvey Wireman. How are you, sir?
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. What the young cadet is trying to say is...
Here comes Commandant Wireman!
Come on already, you dumb...
Commandant Wireman will be here in a moment.
He's already on with us.
I'm already on.
Stand by!
Phil, never mind the kid. He's one of our junior cadets. He's a gung-ho kid, but his father... I'm in touch with his father. The point that I'm trying to make is that when the average civilian has one of those things in his ear, it demoralizes our young people who want to make the military a career, because military people wear hearing devices and goggles, things in your ear, anything that's stuck out of any sensory device, that's military. And when the civilian walks around with goggles on, I can't tell you how what that means.
What civilians walk around wearing goggles?
What do you mean?
Well, name one.
You've been to the beach lately?
I mean, are you talking about swimming goggles?
Any kind of goggle. You know, the kids like to do even beer goggles. You know?
No, I don't know. I mean...
I'm talking about if a civilian... Look, if a guy in a military uniform has... Like one eye that's half closed because maybe it's glass. That's understandable. If a guy in a military uniform has the sleeve pinned up because there's nothing to put in it, so he might as well just pin it up.
Like he doesn't have an arm.
Yeah. Not like he doesn't have an arm. He doesn't have an arm. Say a civilian does the same thing. And a lot of civilians get their kicks putting their arm behind their back and then pinning up the one sleeve as if they...
What Commander Wireman is talking about...
He's talking about guys that are doing practical jokes.
But the point is, if you pin your sleeve up, you should only be military. And
well, what if I'm not military, but I don't have an arm and I pin my sleeve up?
You've got to let it flap free.
Yes, you must let it flap free as a civilian. Only the military get to pin it up and make it look neat. Now, the other thing is...
All right, let me write this down. Goggles... Headsets that you attach to your ears, and pinning your sleeve up.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, anything else? Oh, wait a minute. And the half-lidded eye, which means you got a glass eye. That's cool if you're military.
Yes. Otherwise, you got to get a Sandy Duncan eye.
Yeah, one that just glares at you.
What the hell?
Is this the right station? What's wrong? This guy sounds like a jackball. Oh, Mr. Henry Spock.
Wait a minute, man. I'm asking you. You can talk to me. I'm here. What do you mean a Sandy Duncan eye?
The Sandy Duncan eye is a big, wide, glaring eye. That's what civilians have. But the military glass eye is slightly lidded, almost like an Al Michaels lidded. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, man. I didn't know that they had special prosthetic eyes for civilians and military. I didn't know.
Yes, sir, they do. What we call in the military, the lidded eye is the hat, but the Sandy Duncan big full-on glow eye.
Yeah, like she's giving you the evil eye.
That's for civilians.
That's correct. Now, what other thing were we talking about, Commandant? What rank are you?
I'm a cadet.
Yeah, cadet. War. You know what? I'm going to make you kiss the gunner's daughter.
Zip. All right, hang up. Okay, man, so now you know. If you get that Sandy Duncan eye, man. What the hell? Cats walking around with the things in their ear? I don't care. You may look like a jackball, but you know what? Maybe some people need the hands-free phone while they're walking along. Maybe if they don't have both hands to use while they're walking, they'll fall over. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for email here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is from Specialist Carlton Joy at Fort Hood, Texas. I want to thank you. I enlisted in the Army last February, Phil. I missed your show almost more than I did my girlfriend during basic training. So one day I wrote to her to have her order some of your best of CDs so I could get a Hendry fix after I'd gotten out of that hellhole Fort Benning. Yes, I listened to them till I wore them out. They still make me laugh my ass off. But I finally wisened up and had her get a backstage pass so she could send me audio CDs of your show while I was at Fort Huachuca for interrogator training. What do you mean, Huachuca? Hey, dude, don't you think your girlfriend's working a little hard here? Then I had my girlfriend steal a car, drive it to Fort Benning. I hopped over the wall late one night, and we drove off down the road while listening to your best of CDs. I'm currently AWOL from the United States military, but happy? Oh, my God, you wouldn't know how much. In the head! Those CDs helped me keep my sanity, Phil, for the 7 months I lived in a 60-man open bay barracks. It probably means crap to you, but you kept my sanity with your hilarious bits and perspective on everything from Starbucks to Iraq. I deploy to Iraq this summer, and you'll have at least one dedicated listener somewhere in Iraq. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Phil, you know what? We got to get this guy a free backstage pass, too. Well, if you can prove you're in the military, you get a free backstage pass. But you got to prove that you're in the military and it's like a cool job. I'm kidding about the cool job part. Hey, Phil, listen to you every day. I want to thank you for inspiring me to quit smoking. When you provided an on-air rant against the tobacco companies enslaving us, I got my back up and I quit. And that was in October 2003. Too bad you haven't got the pair to do the same thing. What a hypocrite. Thanks again. Russ Deneau, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Far out. This one here is from some cat named Bud. He says, is that picture on the link to the Raj Fanin blog the president of Iran? The answer is yes, sir, it is. Love the show. Thanks for making the backstage pass available. Bud needs some serious eyeglasses. Yuck. That comes from Bill.
Where is that?
Those are the caricatures of you on. Oh, by the way, Sweet Feathery Jesus. I think we got an email in here from some chick whose her username on Sweet Feathery Jesus is Dirty Pool. So look her up, man. Phil, I love you, man. Not in a Brokeback Mountain kind of a way. I do love you, Steve in Topeka. By the way, we got a Brokeback Mountain joke into, well, I don't want to say where, but it has something to do with a TV show I just shot. I kissed her. Dear Phil, you're a sick, twisted man, Henry. That Ray Nagin bit was one of the most offensive, disturbing, tasteless, and classless things I've ever heard. In other words, it's already a classic. Chris Peters in Petertown. Here she is. Hey, Phil, I'm really looking forward to watching the new TV show you're on, and I've spread the word to all my bros online. I haven't seen any impressive promotion of the show, so I guess I have to do it. Take care. Krista, also known as Dirty Pool at Sweet Feathery Jesus. Yeah, baby. Hey, Phil, how I found your show from the middle of nowhere, Roswell, New Mexico, is quite a story. Your show really helps us pass the time. I've been a backstage pass member for 3 years, and the charter pilot bit you did on January 2nd was the best yet. My ribs are still aching. Are you a fly fisherman? Only a fly fisherman would say brown trout. What? Hey, Phil, what's going on with suing your property manager? Did you give up and drop it, or are you going to put up a fight like you got a pair? Please let us know. Some guy who wouldn't sign his name. Dude, you know, do I look like I got all the money in the world? Well, I got to fight everybody's fights? The answer is, you're right. I'm too scared. Well, I ain't got the time. Phil, you are bar none the funniest man alive. I read above that you see all your email, and so I just needed you to read this and to thank you for all the hard work you're doing to make us all laugh a lot. Looking forward to your new show, Teachers, and I love your dual residence marriage deal. It makes perfect sense to me. You're a trailblazer, sir. Helen in D.C. Well, Helen, I'm sorry that you'll never live to see that, because with a name like Helen, you've got to be over 80, right? So am I kidding? Or that's a cruel thing. I'm sorry. I love that dual marriage idea. I'm going to try that. Helen turned 96 last week. Anyway, here is one from Jay. Your show is fantastic. I've been listening for years. On Monday night's show, you played the swanky organ version of Girl from Ipanema. I'm dying to find an album of that swanky organ music. Can you point me in the right direction? Keep up the good work. Jay, it's on this Capitol Records series. It's the same thing that we're playing right here. It's real cheesoid. You know, it's real olive oil stuff, you know? It's that greasy palm stuff. And it's on the Capitol Records. It's called Ultra Lounge. And basically what Capitol Records did is they went into their basement one day and they pulled all the tapes of stuff they owned the rights to. And you'll notice, like, the artists are cats like... I mean, it's like this, you know, Dean Martin. I'm not saying that Dean Martin isn't a big dude, but some of the stuff he did, Capitol retained the rights to. And then... Sam Butra and the Wailers and just weird Peggy Lee with some weird stuff. And they took all this, put it onto discs, and right when the Swingers thing hit, like what was that, like 96? When that Vince Vaughn movie came out, Swingers, they released all this stuff and it got to be really popular for a while. And I used to play it at parties, you know, like you put that on a stereo and you got people in bathing suits. There's something that's just too Vegas about it. And just keep playing this song over and over again. Hey, Phil, do you want to maybe play anything different? I don't give a crap. Anything, man. Like, oh, God, here we go with a kick in the head again. Another cocktail. Put on another song, man! All right, here we go with another. Oh, we got to take a break, bud? Is that why you're waving your arms at me with your freaking smelly pits?
Pretty much.
We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm absolutely outraged, Coach, by your attitude. You're completely demeaning two women. I really strongly feel that you made a commitment. You took vows. You made a commitment.
That is true.
And you're not living up to it.
I'll never leave my wife.
There's a commitment emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And, gee, it's really too bad that your wife, for whatever reason, can't have sex with you. But you need to just suck it up. And I don't think you're a good role model for any child by talking about cheating on your wife.
Now,
what kind of role does that set?
Coach, you must have anticipated this kind of reaction.
Well, I think people react this way when they don't have the information. Let me give this lady an... Well, if you want to listen to me, I mean...
I think you're a despicable man.
Despicable? What kind of word is that? It's called despicable, dear. I'm a high school educator as well.
But seriously, Coach, you must have anticipated this response.
Well, I think women inherently...
You're just a pig.
Well, you want to call me names, then I'm going to have to talk to someone else.
You are, because you're talking about cheating on your wife, who's obviously been sick. You talked about all the surgeries she's been through.
Okay, so what am I supposed to do?
You're not going
to
be there for
what
her.
What am I supposed to do?
Okay,
what
you
am
got
I supposed
choices,
to do?
Guys.
You know, you sound angry about this, and I'm going to have to ask the question.
I am, because,
is this
because
a personal,
I'm absolutely outraged
well,
that you are even talking about cheating on your wife like this.
Did a man do this to you?
And no.
Well,
and
then how come you're so angry about it? How come you're so angry about it?
Because you're obnoxious. You're talking about cheating on your wife.
Why don't you think it's cheating?
Because I will never divorce Mindy. I will never. Mindy, I love her more than life itself.
Well, let me ask you this, Coach. Have you discussed your plan with her and asked her if, Mindy, is it okay if I have sex with another woman here?
Oh, okay, great. So, in other words, what I should do is say.
Yeah, you should.
Well, and guess what? You know what? She's going to get mad, and she's going to want to leave me, and I don't want that to happen.
Oh, so you want both ways, huh?
Hey, if you had cheated on your husband, let's say 20 years ago, and you felt all of a sudden you wanted to tell him about it, knowing that he'd leave you, would you do it? Of course you wouldn't. What? That's stupid. And I'm not a stupid man. All I'm asking for is a couple of times a week to get some relief in exchange for her boy starting on the team.
And you know what?
Wait a minute. Are you now? See, you are. You're trading sex for her son?
No, I'm not. Mr. Henry, if you go there again, I will consider it to be slanderous.
You know what, Coach?
No, wait a minute. No, that's what you said, though, man. You said...
All I said was I need to get... I'm talking to a woman. How can she understand?
I can, and if you've got two hands, use one of them and give yourself some relief.
I'm not queer. And
well, what has that got to do with that?
She's asking me to do something that gays do.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I hate to tell you this, man, but it's something I think a lot of straight guys engage in.
Maybe the ones you know, Mr. Henry, but the straight men that I know go to a woman. Jesus, what are you guys about?